I will trust in you. your feet, bow before your throne. You are the glorious God. Hallelujah! Holy servant, glorious God. Sing with me. We sing glorious.
Praise God. Amen. It's good to see you tonight for our time of prayer together. Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your anointing that is destroying yokes and removing burdens. Thank you, Lord, for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. Thank you, Lord, for grace that is sufficient for new days, graced with new benefits. Lord, may this day not end without us taking hold of all the benefits that you have for us this day. Thank you, Lord, that your assignment for our lives will all be accomplished speedily and efficiently for your glory and honor. Holy Spirit, we know not what to pray or how to pray. But we have been informed and directly graced with the word of life. It says that you will help us. We cry out for that help tonight. We ask, O God, that we will not only have access, but Lord, O God, that the access granted us today will be fruitful because we receive from your hands and from your words all that you have for us without delay. Thank you, Lord. Father God, that you fight in the battles for us. We rest in the victory that is ours through Christ Jesus. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I was thrilled in my spirit when I heard the song that was sung before the last one, talked about fear. Because as I saw the face of the Lord to find out what our assignment for tonight was to be, that's what it talked to me about. Pray about fear. There is much fear in the world today. In fact, one of the signs of the end times is that people will live in perpetual fear. People will be overwhelmed by fear all around them. Unfortunately, it's not only happening to the people that are of the world. It's happening within the body of Christ. The Word of God says, my people perish. That means they waste away unnecessarily because of a lack of knowledge. We many times are very unaware with all the information that is surrounding us. Very unaware of our rights in God. That's unfortunate. There are more preachers today all around the world. Even preachers are living in fear. Many are quitting the ministry because of fear. Many have been paralyzed by fear. But the Word of God is very clear that God has not given to us this spirit of fear. Fear is a spirit. It's a spirit. And because it's a spirit, you cannot counteract it with carnal, natural, religious, psychological activities. It has to be addressed spiritually. And rather than people dealing with it with the pure spirit of the Word of God, for the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. People attach themselves to a different spirit. There's an ad that has been around for a while now where this lady is talking about COVID and all that happened with COVID. And she says, we try to cope with the issues by drinking alcohol and doing drugs. And the message was, okay, let's try to get away from that. My brother died because of somebody that was drunk. drugs are spirit, even though they are natural. They take you into a spiritual realm. Booze does the same thing. But that will never solve the issue of fear. It's a spirit. In fact, you know, I'm sure you know that when they talk about alcohol, they say, you know, spirit. Yeah, because it is. It is. When people start hallucinating, when they take drugs, they have been taken into a spiritual realm. They open a portal. But that's not how God wants us to deal with fear. He wants us to remember, first of all, from 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, the Word of God is very explicit. It says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear." God didn't give to us the spirit of fear. Amen? Say with me, God has not given to me this spirit of fear. Therefore, I don't have to receive it. You know, parents, when they're raising children, they'll say, "Don't take anything from a stranger." Yeah? Your parents ever tell you that? "Don't take nothing from strangers. Don't speak to strangers." Well, that's the first thing that you need to do. Stop taking what God didn't give to you. It comes from a stranger. And stop talking to that stranger. He has not given to us the spirit of fear. Hallelujah. Say with me again, God has not given to me the spirit of fear. Therefore, I will not receive it. It is a strange spirit from a stranger that I have no relationship with. I have a God who is able to meet all of my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. And one of the things I learned in English class was you can switch off that word for because. So because God had not given us the spirit of fear. So why is the because there? It must be because of something that was said before. So what does verse 6 say? Verse 6 says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance." Remember this, that thou stir up the gift of God. Stir up the gift of God. Stir up the gift of God. Stir it up. Which is in thee. This gift is in you. By the putting on of my hands. When I laid hands on you, a gift was impacted unto you. It's a gift. What is that gift, Paul? It is not the spirit of fear. It is the spirit of love. It is the spirit of power, love, and a what? Sound mind. That's what you got. You got power. You got love. You've got a sound mind. So don't be afraid. No matter what the circumstances, fear is not part of the story for my life or your life. Amen? Let's do this first then. I know hands have been laid on you so many times through the years. That's part of the impartation. But let us do this. Let's pray. God, lay your hands on me and impart into me once again your gifts. Did you get that? Lord, lay your hands on me and impart to me your gifts. And then we'll start praying those things. Let's take it up and begin to pray that. Ask the Father to lay his hands on you. Hallelujah. Father, I receive the impartation of grace from your hands. Lay your hands on me and impart to me your gifts. Impart to me your abilities. Impart to me, O God, grace that overcomes. Impart to me glorious things even now. In the mighty name of Jesus, lay your hands on me, Father. I receive the laying on of your hands. Let your hands laid on me now impart to me great things. For these of the last days, let your hand rest on me for good. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that this grace is imparting to me your unfeigned faith. Hallelujah. Your unfeigned faith, Father. I receive it by the laying on of your hands. In the mighty name of Jesus. Your disciples said, when they were being persecuted, that you should stretch forth your hands and touch them. We cry out for the same, O God, today. That grace of your hands upon our lives causes fear to lose its grip, to lose its hold. In the mighty name of Jesus, we receive it, Father, the unfeigned faith. Hallelujah. Faith that worketh by your love. We receive it, we walk in the fullness of it, we're transformed by it, we're renewed in the spirit of our minds by it. We give you praise for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. So God has not given to us the spirit of fear, but of power. This is spirit of power. The spirit of power is the dynamic power of God. Dunamis. Same word, root word for the word dynamite. Root word for dynamo. In essence, it is power packed. It is explosive. Glory be to God. A dear man of God has gone home to be with the Lord now. Great man of God. The power of God operating in and through his life was so extraordinary. It shook not only his city, but a whole nation. You mentioned the name of this man, everybody. Believers, non-believers, satanic worshipers, ritualistic people, they knew that name. And they were afraid of this man. So the devils tried to harass him in his home country. Couldn't get him. So decided that since we can't get him here, we'll get him overseas. So he came overseas and normally he'll have people check through his room before he goes in, check, didn't see anybody. So he went to sleep. And of a sudden, he hears somebody crying, shouting, "Fire! Fire! Fire! Fire!" Checking around. It's coming from the closet. Open the closet. Sure enough, because you see him, fire, fire, fire. Called security and says, "Who's crying? What's happening? What's fire coming? I don't see any fire, but someone's shouting fire." Security is there, he's there, they open the closet, and there's a woman inside the closet. She was burnt up. Are you hearing me? Her clothes is burnt, her skin is burnt. She was an agent of the devil there to mess with the man of God. And while he's sleeping, fire was right there, burning. Well, that's power. It's a power that causes us not to be afraid, causes the enemy of our soul to be afraid of us. Amen? We're going to say, we're going to pray and declare, "I receive the Spirit of God's power. The power of God that protects me, but is violently going after the enemy." Praise the Lord. I'm not the one to be afraid. The devil should be afraid. Praise God. So let's just declare. He says, "You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you." So twofold prayers we're going to pray. We're going to pray, "God, I receive your power because I receive your Holy Ghost. I receive the Holy Spirit." Amen? He says, "There is one who's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with what? Fire." Praise God. Because God is a consuming fire. And if we are created in his image and likeness, we've got to have the same thing. Praise God. Amen? So I receive the Holy Ghost and fire with the power that you have promised. Glory be to God. Pray. Thank you, Lord, O God, for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for the presence of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for the presence of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for the unction, O God, the anointing of the Holy Spirit and power. Thank you, Father, for the fire of the presence of your glory that's resting upon our lives. It does not consume us. It consumes away everything that is not of you. But because we are of the same kind, your fire does not consume us. We are one with your fire. We are one with your power. We are one with your presence. We are one with your glory. We are one, O God, with your authority. We have been authorized by you, by the empowerment of grace. O Father, in Jesus' name, we receive the Spirit of power, the authentic power from the presence of the Most High. The power that authorizes. We receive that authorization right now. And with this authorization, we move boldly. We move boldly. We move boldly because we are possessors of your power, having been authorized by you. Satanic agendas fail woefully as we move boldly in Jesus' mighty name. Praise God. Praise the Lord. It goes on, it says, he's given to us the spirit of his power and of his love. We have God's power and we have God's love. What difference does this make? All kinds of difference. Love, the spirit of love, is a spirit that causes you to be aware of the fact that you have been graciously loved by God. His agape love had nothing to do with anything that you did, but everything to do with the executive act of God, the choosing of the Lord, the activation of his will. Amen? The activation of his will for good towards me, towards you. Part of being created in the image and likeness of God is primarily about the fact that we have the ability to will. It's a serious part, a very primary part of your God-likeness, the ability to have a will to choose, that you're not programmed, that you have your will and you can utilize it, enforce it, project it, and do what you will with it. Because without the will, your ability to choose, you cannot love. There is no love without choice. So, when the Word of God says, but of power and of love, think about the love not only in terms of the fact that God loves me by his will, but see it as this, and the power of choice. Do you see that? The power to choose not to be afraid. I choose not to be afraid. That's part of the power of love. So the word of God says, perfected love will cast out fear. When your ability to know that I have the right to make my own decision, and my decision is that I will go strong in the path of God and not be afraid of what man will do or can do or whatever else. It's a different story. So the word of God is going to tell us, and of a sound mind, because when your mind is sound, truly sound, you are free. Praise God. You are free. People who don't know that they have the ability to choose are being influenced by something else, by a different spirit, whether that spirit is drugs, booze, circumstances. Whatever form. You remind yourself, I choose not to be afraid. God loves me. And the God who loves me is protecting me. Praise the Lord. So let us pray about this love. Well, remember that love is the will to choose. It's connected to that. But love is also connected not only concerning the choice for yourself, but the choosing not to walk in offense towards other people. Unforgiveness. Forgiveness is an act of love. It's a choice. A man of God in the 80s or 90s, something like that, had a series of teachings about marriage. And one of the main fundamental thought that he brought was that love is a decision. I think his name was Gary Smalley, something like that. Gary Smalley, love is a decision. He's so right. It's an act of the will. You choose to love. You will to do the right thing. And if it's a choice, then there are options. And you're choosing the right option. The right option being how God sees the situation. And God has not met a situation that is bigger than him. Praise the Lord. There's not a challenge that has faced God and God says, oops, I don't know what to do. So when we are confronted with a situation and we don't know what to do, love says, God, show me what should pick. He says, I present you life and death. Choose life. God will always tell you what the right thing is. He cheats for us. sometimes my grandkids and my children, when they're smaller, you know, be playing hide and seek. And I'm there and I say, yes, go father, go father. And they go and they find a person. Well, God does the same thing. He joins us in the game of life and shows us where the stuff is. where not to go. Come, come, hide, hide over here, hide over here. Love. We're going to ask God. We're going to receive that love and the ability to make decisions, godly, fruitful decisions. That's what God has given to us, so that we are never in fear. Amen? Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, we receive the spirit of love and the ability to make godly, fruitful, beneficial decisions. Decisions that are founded on the truth of your word. Decisions that remind us, O God, of the reality, O God, that you are the God who has loved us with an everlasting love, that you will never leave us nor forsake us. The decision that is founded on knowing that your thoughts towards us is good. You want to bring us to that expected end. Lord, may we know what the expected end is meant to be and be fully connected to it. Our lives, O God, be not grazed by the activities of fear, doubt, and confusion. Lord, O God, that we are decisive in making the right decisions, following through with the truth, pursuing that which is righteous and right, standing uprightly. Thank you, Lord, O God, that we're not cowering in fear. But we know, God, that you set us upon the rock. Hallelujah. Knowing, O God, that you are protecting us from the arrows and the snares of the tongues of evil people, agents of darkness that plot and think thoughts, O God, that are not honorable. Today we subject everything that is not of you to the fierce judgment of your word. We crush today every activity of darkness because your love is flooding our souls. We're transformed by the renewing of our minds. Blessed be your holy name, Most High God. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And then it says, and of a sound mind. A sound mind. Sound mind is a mind that is disciplined. The word is sophronismos, the disciplined mind, a mature mind. For something to mature, it's grown, it's gone through the process of growth. It's come to a place where it is whole. That's what this particular word lends itself to is self-controlled, mature, disciplined mind. If you discipline your mind, it means that you put it under strict regimen. It's a regimented mind that doesn't allow itself to flutter all over the place. It's a disciplined mind, which means it is focused. It knows what it wants and it allows no distractions. That's what the Word of God says. God has given to us. Now, that disciplined mind is not a mind that I am creating for myself. You get that? It is something that God is giving to me. He's giving that mind to me. He says, here, take this mind. It's a mind that has nothing to do with my natural thinking. It's given to me. It's a modeled mind. It's a model. It has been worked on, sharpened, debugged. All the nonsense that will cause it to fail has been knocked out. The mind of Christ is the perfect mind for me. The mind of Christ, I don't know if you're ready for this. The mind of Christ for me may be different from the mind of Christ for you. Because the mind of Christ is specifically controlled by God to perfectly match God's purpose and design and destiny for my life. I don't know if you got that. Sophronimus. In that word, sophronimus, you can hear the word Sophia in the very beginning part of it. Sophia is the word for wisdom. Are you with me? When you talk to somebody who is doing their master's, and from master's going to the doctorate, you might talk to them about what discipline are you? Yeah? Discipline. That person's discipline might have to do with cardiology or whatever. And another person's discipline might be pharmacology. Two different disciplines. The person who's in pharmacology may have some things common with the person who's doing cardiology, but there are parts where they are different. But they are still disciplines. Engineering. Architecture, environmental science, climatology, or whatever. They're all disciplines. So also is the mind of Christ. It's a disciplined mind, but it's a module that is specifically assigned to me based on what God intends for me to operate in. And when I'm in that flow, I'm not afraid. Everybody else might be afraid, but not me. Hallelujah. Why should I be afraid? I'm at peace because God gave me the mind for that. Now, when God has given me the mind for it, I don't need to be afraid like other people. David had the mind of Christ. And he says, hey, Goliath, you're going down. Everybody else was afraid, but not him. And when they try to give him something that does not fit with him, he said, this might fit with you, but it doesn't fit me. I'll work with what I know. And he grabs 5 stones and runs towards Goliath. Before Goliath knew what was happening, Goliath was face down. And before he could recover himself, his head was off. From a little kid. Well, same thing. When you know what you know that you know that you know, you keep on pushing because the mind of Christ has determined it. If you give you a better understanding when we're talking about the mind of Christ, it's not just, oh, no, it's, there's a macro level, but there's a micro particular level that's honed on for you. Other people may not understand it. But there's peace inside of you. You're doing something crazy. You're doing something crazy. No, it's not crazy. What do you think you're doing? Brothers of David said, I know, we know you. You're just here, you know, because you want to just come see the fight. No, that's not why. I came to bring you food. But that was a turning point. He thought he was bringing food, but God had a bigger agenda. David, today you're going to slay a giant. We're going to pray this prayer. I receive the mind of Christ, the sound mind of Christ concerning me, concerning my family, concerning my business, concerning my relationships, concerning your church, concerning my marriage, concerning my finances, your mind. I receive the mind of Christ, that mature, disciplined mind, that sound mind. I receive it. Pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your mind. I receive it. Your mind concerning my life, my ministry, my calling. Your mind concerning your will for my life. I receive the download of that mind that will not falter, the mind that will not go to the right or to the left, but is fully focused. I receive that mind. I receive that mind. I receive that mind right now, because it's a mind that has a purpose, a destiny, a focus. It is determined and it has determination. It penetrates through every situation. Nothing is able to stop it. I thank you for that mind that has breakthrough written and infused into every aspect of it. I walk, O God, in the fullness of that mind and declare this day, O God, that your kingdom has come and your will is fully fulfilled in us and through us. In Jesus' mighty name. Oh, blessed be your holy name, Father, forever. Hallelujah. In Psalm 23 and verse 4, the psalmist says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that's a low place. But it says there is a shadow of death. There are no shadows without light. So if you've seen a shadow, there must be the presence of light. The light, the presence of God. Amen? The light is exposing what is not in your view, not in your purview. So the light shines, and you see the shadow, and you know, oh, there's a presence that's trying to block the light. And therefore, there's a shadow. It doesn't matter how big the shadow is or how small the shadow is. He says, I'm not going to be afraid. Is that not what we prayed earlier? I choose not to be afraid. It's a choice. I will not be afraid. I will fear no evil. Now, that doesn't mean that evil is not going to happen. He says, I'm not going to be afraid of it. Why aren't you going to be afraid of the evil? Something evil is happening. So I'm not going to be afraid of it. Why not? The Lord is with me. My Father is with me. And his rod and his staff comfort me. Let me not go too deep tonight on that. That's talking about the rod and the staff. That's going to get us too deep. And I'll keep you here for another hour. But this is what we're going to pray. Thank you, Lord, that you are with me. Therefore, I will not be afraid. The rod and the staff are there to pull me into order. It's part of the discipline of God. and I'm not going to be afraid. There is a comfort that comes from the discipline of God. I'm not going to be afraid. The Lord is with me. I'm not going to be afraid. The Lord who is with me says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm comforted. Because the Word of God tells us also that the Holy Spirit is our comforter, paraclete, the one who walks alongside with us. The Holy Spirit, my comforter, he walks by my side. I'm not going to be afraid because God, you are by my side. And if God is for me, with me, by my side, why do I need to be afraid? In high school, I was not that big. I was this skinny little thing. And I had a friend who's really husky, muscular guy, and he was my protector. And every time this guy was with me, I mounted off. I'll be a big mouth. We're going to get you. He's not always going to be there with you. We're going to get you. I say, wait. You're going to get me? If you try to get me, he will find you. I had somebody that was bigger than them. So I could have a big mouth. That was my comfort, my protection. Now we have a God who is by our side. And we can stand in the integrity of his goodness. Amen? So let's pray this prayer. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, we give you praise. We give you praise. That we need not be afraid because you are with us. You stand with us. You are the one who walks by us. And not only do you walk with us, you live in us. Hallelujah. And so, Lord, we give you praise. God who inhabits the praises of his people. Inhabit our praise. Ride the wave of our praise. Fortify us, O God, with your goodness. Father, we thank you this day in the name of Jesus Christ that the enemy that seeks our demise is met by the forcefulness of your goodness in our lives. Blessed be your holy name. There is nothing that you cannot do. What you cannot accomplish in us does not now or at any time exist. So we rest, O God, in your goodness, Father. You know the yesterdays, you know the todays, and you know the tomorrows. You know every single nanosecond ahead of us. You know the challenges that are fast approaching. So we thank you, Lord, that you've gone ahead of us and you're diffusing and bringing to naught every challenge. And Lord, oh God, you've placed before us an open door of divine victory, divine success. Lord, your goodness following us, your tender mercies embracing us, your shield of faith protecting us, your word going forth, O God, ahead of us as evil-seeking missiles, they go forth and they are cutting down every enemy. We give you praise that this is so. In Jesus' mighty name, whatever should have caused us to be afraid has already been dismantled. And all we can say is, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. For we have greatly escaped like a bird from the snare. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Let us conclude with 1 John 4:18, and then we'll pray for the service on Sunday. 1 John 4:18. The Bible tells us that there is no fear in love. Remember, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound, mature, disciplined mind. He says, there is no fear in love. But then it goes on and says, but perfect love, perfected love, will cast out fear. Praise the Lord. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love. Perfect love. Teleos is that word for perfect. Teleos. Now, teleos. What is the first sound that you hear in teleos? Tele, okay. All right. Give me all the words that have tele connected to them. Huh? Television. Telegraph. Telephone. Telepathy. Telescope. What do all of those words have in common? Teleos. What do you think they have in common? Teleos. Huh? Okay, brings things that are distant close to you, okay? Communication, okay. All right, it's good. So, telepathy is communication, telephone, communication, television, so has communication also, that's visuals, communication, telescope. You see something better, it's magnified, so you see better. So, when God talks about perfect love, what do you think he's saying? He's saying, he says, there is no fear in love, But perfect love will cast out fear. That's why there's no fear in love. But why? How is it that perfect love is able to cast out the fear? Because perfect love helps you to see clearly. Oh, this is no problem. Amen? Oh, it's just a little bug. People freak out, you know, big guys, 7-footers, running away from a little caterpillar. Excuse me. What are you? It's just a lover. It's just a little this nonsense. In essence, perfect love will help you see clearly what it is. And says, you don't need to be afraid of it. Kids are amazing. You know, you see one little kid and all he's looking for is bugs. They're looking for bugs and frogs and they hold it and they're playing with it. And there's another one, just sees a bug. One sees it and says nothing. The other one thinks, oh my, that thing is going to bite me. It's going to hurt me. I say, no, no, it's nothing there. Perfect love, mature love, brings you to the place where you see the love of God and you see that fear has no place in there. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? What? Oh, you're going to go broke and you're going to be walking. So, not the first, won't be the last. So I lost everything. So what? That's not going to scare me. Are we going to take here this and we're going to take... Tell Paul, Paul will ask you, which prison do you want to take me to? You know what? He sent me to that one over there. You know that town over there? There were some people I was talking to over there. I didn't finish my discussion. Send me over there. What are you going to do with a Paul who's not afraid? We're too scared about too many things. What are you going to do? Kill me? Oh, to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. Ah, make my day. Perfect love brings you to that place where you see beyond the nonsense. And so you lose, you know, the power for intimidation is totally lost. It's no longer present with you. You cannot be intimidated. By what? By what? Perfect love for God will cast out the fear. He says, because fear hath torment. If you allow fear, you'll be tormented. You'll have sleepless nights. You're overwhelmed by all kinds of circumstances. He says, he that feareth is not made perfect in love. What does that mean? He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So the perfected love is something that happens because you let it. Because you know the power. Remember what we said about love. What did we say about love? Did I lose you? We prayed it. What? Choice. There you go. Choice. So don't give the power of choice away. One of the things that the enemy tried to desperately do with COVID was to rob us of the power of choice. I told you, it's not ended. Right? Remember me saying that? It's not ended. It's coming, and it's coming with great speed. I told you, in 2019 or early 2020, I told you that the next major point was going to be with the use of climate change. Remember I'm talking about that? And I also told you that there was another, not COVID, worse than COVID, where houses were going to be burnt. Remember talking about that? Okay. All of that is coming. It's coming. But you and I don't need to be afraid. Amen? Because my body is not conducive. Yes? For the habitation, the multiplication of any virus. Praise God. Amen? The enemy will try, but my body doesn't have to multiply it. Whatever the enemy's agenda is, it's not going to work on me. Why? I know that I'm perfected in the love of God. I choose not to be afraid. If you choose fear, you will compromise yourself. If you choose fear, you will take the mark of the beast. You know, it's funny. You know, so many people say, I will never take the mark of the beast. We only had COVID. How many of them are back in church? How many churches closed? And I told you before it happened, it wasn't like it took us back. I told you in 2019, Rosh Hashanah, during that whole period coming through to December, I told you about the closing of churches. And I also told you about other people trying to start their own churches, to find us an opening to start stuff. But it's all going to crash because it is not founded on the truth of God's word. It's no foundation. It's based on natural stuff. And there were churches that got started because the government was busy handing out money. Some churches started because people were not going to church, so they thought, well, okay, those you're not going to church, you come and join my church. You start a church, you come and join it. And those people are not going to stay because there is another one coming. And those that are not established and founded in truth are going to falter. There is no fear in perfected love. You see it for what it is, and you choose God rather than the systems of the world. Amen? So let's make the right decisions. As we pray now, God, perfect me in your love. Amen? Perfect me in your love. Because perfected love assistance as they really are will cast out fear. It will reject fear every time. Hallelujah. And that perfected love is founded in the fact that we love God. And our loving of God is founded on the fact that God first loved us. So, Lord, let your love that you have given to me be perfected by me seeing, receiving the communication of what that love is. Got it? Pray. Thank you, Lord. 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 For the fullness of your love. Thank you, Lord, that tell us perfected love is about your complete love. It is full. It is sanctified. All the bugs and whatever else has been removed from it. And it is the kind of love that keeps us sane, keeps us sanctified, keeps us holy, keeps us perfect, keeps us true. It brings us, O God, into your throne room where we can hear your voice, where we can worship you in spirit and in truth. God, perfect me in your love. In the mighty name of Jesus, perfect your love in my life. Remove from my life everything that does not belong. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise God. It's one more thing that I feel quickened that we need to pray about to complete what we're praying about tonight. The Word of God tells us about the parable of the sower of seeds. It tells us that some seeds fell on the pathway, some fell on rocky soil, some fell in a thorn-infested soil, and some fell on a good, fertile soil. The ones that fell on the good, fertile soil produced 30, 60, 100-fold. What the Lord wants me to say to us tonight as we pray this prayer is very important, because those first three soils represent many things, but it also represents three different seasons in the life of the church. There is a season of the pathway. The word is there. The word is stolen. We went through a death period. And then there's some revival. You know, different things happen. And you came to a time period in the church body where they received a new word. Luther brought a new word. And we went through that period of time. Now we've come through another season in the church, which is the season of prosperity. It's the third soil. The third soil where the church is prosperous. We're talking about prosperity. The church is wealthy, it's rich, it's doing all kinds of stuff. But the Lord just says, you say you're rich, but you're really poor. This particular church is so entrenched with oh, we got this, we got this, we got this. But then it is choked because its desire is connected to flesh, wealth, resources. We measure good success by stuff. That's thorn infested. So it doesn't bring fruit to maturity, to perfection. We're about to go past that particular church. And we must go past that particular church safely, where our passion and drive is not just about stuff. Are you with me? So we have to come through this soil that's been beaten up, broken up, dug, watered, and dug, and it looks like nothing has been planted in it, barren, so to speak. But it is a soil, a virgin soil. It's not really barren, it's a virgin soil. And to this virgin soil that's been tilled, can you imagine if you were the soil and you're being tilled, how much pain that would be? Being poked, being dug into. But this is the soil that's been weeded. All the rocks and whatever else taken out. Hey, I'm so used to the rock. No, it's out. But I need it. No, you don't need it. It's out. Now, the seed is going to fall on this land. This virgin that has been walked on, the thorns are taken out, the desire for the things of the world is out, and all our heartbeat is about is, how can I live a life that pleases the Lord? That soil is going to produce everything that was lost in the other three soils. Amen? Hallelujah. We're going to pray, Lord, make us that soil that's going to produce everything you want. Are you with me? Make us that soil. It's gone through all kinds of processing. Things have been taken away from it. Its hardness is broken off. Now it's soft. Lord, make me the soil that will produce everything you want. Because I know your love. Amen? Are you ready? Pray that for the church today. Pray that for the church services that we'll continue to have. God, make us that body. Make me that body. Make us, your church, that soil that is productive, that is receiving the seed of your word. Hallelujah. All the way to Calvary, you went for me. You went for me. You went for me. All the way.
to Calvary you went for me, and now you set me free. So I can shout hallelujah, I can shout hallelujah, I can shout, oh praise the Lord. So I can shout hallelujah, I can shout hallelujah, I can shout, praise the Lord. Lord, make me, make us, this your church, the soil that is always going to produce everything you want. Because we know your love, your loving kindness, and your tender mercies. And we choose what is right. Remove from our lives the soil. It's like the pathway. The soil that is shallow because its base is rocks. The soil that is thorn infested. Remove everything that will make us unproductive, fully productive. We don't want to be the soil that the enemy comes and steals whatever it is we've heard because we did not understand. Nor do we want to be the soil that receives the words with gladness and rejoices, but there's no root in itself. And therefore it's scorched. We don't want to be the soil that produces fruit, but then it's choked by the thorns, the cares of this world. Eradicate the thorns. Remove those rocks. Break the hard, trodden ground. Out of those three soils, make us a virgin soil. It's gone through all of the harassment, but all for one common good. That the seed that we receive matures and produces a great harvest that touches lives locally and globally. We receive this grace now, and we walk in the fullness of your goodness. Let our service this Sunday be graced by your anointing. Oh, meet us, Father. Meet us in this house and do for us what only you can do. Blessed be your holy name forever, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God for his goodness. Thank God for every one of you that took time to come out to pray. May God meet every need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And may his favor abound towards us all. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, at this time, let us honor God with our giving. Those of you at home watching on Zoom or my stream, whichever format, platform you're using, the information on how you can give is going to be on the screen. Make use of it. Just honor God. May God show himself strong on your behalf. I want to encourage you to make certain that you participate this Sunday morning and Sunday evening. So I continue to bring the word of the Lord to us, a word that will help you and I continue to grow and mature in the things of God. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. See you Sunday for another wonderful time in the presence of the Most High God. Good night. Love you guys. Bye-bye.